Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank, and today we're talking about Celeste and Jesse Forever, which came out in 2012. It's a romance slash comedy directed by Lee Krieger. It stars Rashida Jones, Andy Samberg, Chris Messina, Ari Grainer, Eric Olson, Will McCormick, Elijah Wood, and Emma Roberts. There's also a few other cameos. I think Chris D'Elia was in it at some point. She goes on a date with a guy named Max. I don't know that actor's name, but he looks familiar.
Oh, I think it's a Rich something.
Yeah.
Rich Summers. Summer.
What else is he in?
He's in Mad Men.
Okay, yes. Yep. Nice.
Henry Crane, maybe?
But Mad Men was before this?
Yeah. Yes. It was during this, I guess.
Okay. Well, the summary of this movie is that childless, married high school sweethearts have been separated for 6 months because Celeste feels Jesse hasn't grown up. But they remain best friends attached at the hip, and things are weird for all their friends. Living in the adjoining studio behind the house, Jesse dabbles in art. We learn that Jesse knocked up Veronica a few months prior, and they're going to try to make it work. Celeste takes this news poorly and engages in self-destructive behavior as she grows more distant from Jesse. Ultimately, she realizes she was wrong to end her marriage and accepts her mistake, but in the process becomes a huge bitch about people cutting in line.
I mean, the last part isn't the case, but...
What do you mean? The ending scene is like her being like, oh yeah, it's okay, you can cut now. And at the beginning of the movie, she was like, oh, no cutsies.
Yeah, so how does she become a bitch about people cutting in line?
She just lets it happen. She doesn't speak up for herself.
She's a bitch in that she allows it.
Yes.
Not in that she was bitching at the people.
Oh, you thought she was a bitch at the beginning because she was calling people out for cutting?
I think she was right at the beginning. That's why it was weird that her character growth was like, I'm going to let people cut in line. And the guy was like, thanks. I left my dog in the hot car, so I really needed to cut. It was like, this guy seems like a real asshole. Like, what is that?
Maybe bitch wasn't the pushover.
Yeah,
how about that?
I think the guy she cuts in front of who cuts in front of her is Rob Hummel, maybe?
He looked familiar as well, yeah, but I'm not sure what he's from.
And apparently Chris Pine was in this also. Rob Hummel? Did I say Rich? I mean, I said Rich. He's like the guy who plays the crime scene guy in the other guys. Yeah, yeah. I think that was him.
Yeah.
Or was a different guy. It's hard to tell. These people look the same to me. Where do you want to begin?
Ooh. Can we start with the future?
The future. Okay.
Whereabouts? Is anything beyond this movie that you want to talk about?
Oh, you, like
you can foresee being relevant to today's conversation?
I think it would be easier to start where the movie starts, and then we can build towards the future just to keep it all in chronological order.
Fucking broken record. All right, I'll go with you. All right, let's do it.
Okay.
So, at the start of the movie, are they or are they not still married? I think... In the first scene, like post-montage, I think at the end of the montage is whenever they separate. And then the first scene is like 6 months beyond that separation. And they're not together anymore. They're just best friends.
Right. Okay. So, they're driving in the car. And that's the same day they're going to the dinner. Is that what it is?
Yeah, with their two friends that say, this is getting weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think their friends are kind of, like, annoying. Also, okay, so the whole movie, the movie is Rashida Jones and, what's the kid's name? What's the main guy? Andy Samberg? Andy Samberg, yeah. They're married, right? And they are best friends or something. They don't seem like best friends.
What do they seem like?
People who have never met. I don't know. Like, they have a lot of bits, and this is always a thing where they're like, oh, the couples with all these bits that they're always trotting out. I feel like that's not really a thing. Like, I think I know couples who have inside jokes, but it's not just, like, a constant bit. And I get this is, like, cinematic language, like, you know, they're shorthanding a lot of stuff. But these people, I think, jerk off phallic objects, like, 5 different times in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's just not how people act. I don't know.
I think you'd be surprised.
I might be surprised.
I've never jerked off a chapstick, but I'm just saying, like, the kitschy references and inside jokes that they have, I don't think is too far-fetched. I buy it.
You buy that. Here's what I didn't buy. Rashida Jones, who wrote this movie.
Okay.
I just don't buy her as having any sense of, like, whimsy ever. You know? And
okay.
She's just so, like, I don't know, unpleasant, I feel like, as an actor.
Okay.
Even though I don't think she's, like, without talent, it's just, like, hard for me to, I don't know, care about what's going on with her, because she just seems miserable and kind of, and throughout this movie, she's kind of just mean to everybody.
Yeah. On her high horse, the whole movie.
Yeah, which I guess is, like, part of the character. That's like sort of the thing they keep saying is like, oh, you always have to be right. But it's like, I don't know if even that's the case. It's just like, she's kind of mean. I feel like, you know, so the movie is like, she's a successful trend forecaster who wrote a book. And yep. He
Scheitgeist.
Is... Scheitgeist, that's a good name for it. And he's like a out of work artist of some kind.
Is he out of work? Or is he just...
Yeah. No, he's out of work at the beginning, at least.
Are artists ever employed?
Rarely.
I feel like they just keep producing, and they just have their stuff for sale.
Well, I mean, you can be an artist who has, like... I mean, because you can be an artist who, like, works at a company and does art for the company. He's not, it seems like.
But okay.
He could but be.
She still sometimes kicks him some work, right?
Yeah, because she's a trend forecaster. She seems to work at, like, a PR company, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why they made her a trend forecaster. They did it so she could have that, like, one scene with Chris Messina where he's like, his name is Paul, I think, in the movie, where she's like, you know, you took up yoga because of this, and drink light beer, and, you know, whatever, and drive a Porsche.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's all accurate. And it's like, I guess, but, like, that's not what she does the rest of the movie. Throughout the whole movie, she's basically, like, a PR person for a pop star she doesn't like, who she is also mean to.
Yeah, she does, like, branding and digital marketing.
Yeah.
And comes up with logos.
Yeah, so, basically, these people are together, or are friends. It's, like, weird to convince me these are the people who are best friends such that they stayed best friends even after they broke up. You know? Like, that okay. I just don't buy in this movie, I guess.
I mean, I think it's obviously a rarity. I don't think many people are best friends with their ex-spouse.
These people
in particular.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, name 2 people you think would be best friends post-marriage.
I think it'd be very difficult. But it had to be people who convincingly liked each other beforehand.
And you think they don't like each other?
No, I don't think these people would like being in the same room together.
Do you think they have fun together?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I know the movie keeps, like, showing us, like, here's them doing their bits in the car, but I just don't buy it. You know?
Okay.
And also,
keep going.
No, you go. What do you go?
Why do you think you don't buy Rashida Jones in this role? Or, like, why don't you care about her?
I don't think she looks like she has fun doing anything.
Gotcha.
So for her to be like, that's my best friend, I was like, you don't like this guy.
You're incapable of friendship because you're so flat.
I mean, this is like how she was in The Office, where she was like the false romantic lead in that. You know, and she was...
You dislike her for that role?
No, I mean, she was supposed to be like the one who's like, you know, not right for the guy. And in this one, she also seems like not right for the guy. But she doesn't seem right for anybody. She just seems kind of like, you're supposed to like her less than the other people. This one, I think, you're supposed to like her, eventually. And everyone else seems kind of chill. Like, they all go to the book launch, and they're all, like, sort of a good friend group that supports each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, like, kind of miserable. And it's just, like, if you had, like, a more fun actress playing this role, I think it would do better. And she is more fun in, like, Parks and Rec, kind of. But she's very much, like, the straight woman in that, too. I don't know. I just can't, like, see her. It's like, she always seems like she tolerates the fun in every role.
Gotcha.
Like, with Jim on The Office, like, him and Pam had a lot of inside jokes. And she was like, yeah, okay. Like, that's cute that you do that. And in Parks and Rec, it was always like, what's the main? It's Amy Poehler. What's the girl's name? Leslie. Leslie was always like the zanier one. And she was like, they were best friends, but she was like along for the ride. I just can't imagine her being like a willing, active participant in all this fun that they supposedly had, you know?
She just has an air of seriousness to her. She's capable of fun.
I don't think she enjoys this stuff. And like when they try to paint Andy Samberg as irresponsible, it's like he's out of work, which like, yeah, I guess is irresponsible. Because they only do it in a couple. We don't like see him usually in a movie like this. And this movie is short, which I liked. It was, you know, it was a tight 90. Like you'd see him screwing something up more. You know, like his irresponsibility would like lead to some downsides. You know, like he would forget something or he would like, you know, do something incorrect that was important to her.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't ever see that really. So it's just like, he doesn't have a job, which sucks, but he's an artist and it's like, you know, it's a tough industry. It's like, that's one of the things that happens. You know, he could probably like, and he, like, he wants to go surfing one day, it sounds like. And like, that's the whole thing is like, this is the irresponsible guy. And then later in the movie, he like, they're like, you know, showing him like stepping up and becoming more responsible. But it's like, it just doesn't seem like that big of a change, you know?
Sure.
Because, like, he was just some, like, we just don't get a lot of time with him beforehand, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but the movie's not about him.
Yeah, but it's, like, kind of about their relationship. So I think we could have got a little more, because it is, I mean, you're right, it is most, you know, it's Jesse and Celeste in the title, but it is about Celeste mostly. It's about her sort of journey after their divorce. And he's just, you know, the, you know, biggest supporting character. He's not really the co-lead.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that was, like, my main thing. I did like the movie. I did like how there were, like, no bad guys, really.
Other than the anti-hero, Rashida.
Well, I think they try to make her seem like more of a bad guy at times. Because she didn't, like, fight for their marriage. But it seems like they weren't right for each other. Andy Samberg later says, like, oh, you didn't want me to be your equal? But again, we don't really see that. You know, we don't see her being like, oh, I'd like him to be more responsible, but also he's not. But I like it that way because it gives me more. Like, we don't really see that. I don't know if, you know, she was like that. So, like, I find her neither as likable nor as unlikable as the movie thinks she is at times. I find her very in the middle the entire time when I think it's supposed to be like a progression of some kind in one direction or the other.
Hmm.
You know?
I mean, I think it's good to focus on Celeste because she's the lead, but I mean, did anyone else in the movie also fail to live up to the role that they were playing?
I didn't like the drug dealer who is also the other writer of the movie.
What is up with people writing themselves into movies?
Or Elijah Wood, really.
Yeah.
Who is like the her boss, who was also like her wedding date, it seemed like.
I don't think it's her boss. I think it's just her other good friend that's not part of that one for friend group, right? Because she's like co-owner of this branding company.
Oh, maybe it's her co-founder then.
Yeah, it's her co-founder, and he is not friends with Andy or Beth and Freddie, or whatever the hell that guy's name was.
And the main guy's Celeste, or the main guy's Tucker. Jesse.
Beth and Tucker. Friends Beth and Tucker and weed dealer Skills. He's not in that
Skill.
Friend.
Oh my god, Skills was really something. he pops in and just like does some like weird, he's like, oh, the weed business, he's like, the industry is really tough. And it's like, oh, he sells weed, okay, whatever. And then he starts talking about this girl at the coffee shop and he's talking about her ass. And it's just like, it's crazy. These movies are crazy. But this, I don't think this woman's face is ever shown on screen. But they, like, zoom in on her ass, and she has the most typical ass you've ever seen in your life. Just, like, the most and I don't mean any offense to this one, but, like, it's just, like, what are we talking about here? You literally could pick the character, like, you're allowed to cast this person only by their ass at this point, because that's the only part of them that appears. And they, like, do a couple back and forth. They're like, oh, I don't think it's over. And he's talking about the relationship, and he's like, what do you mean, over? It goes on forever. It's like, what does that even mean in terms of an ass? Like, it goes on forever? It's not like the length of an ass. Yeah. I don't know. This was, yeah, that was just stupid.
The person whose ass that was probably doesn't even know that their ass was on screen, because you never see who it was.
You don't think they know? That's what they were cast for.
You think? Were they in the credits as Ass Girl?
I mean, what do you think they were doing in the movie other than, like, this is the only thing we get with them. Do we see her face? No, we don't see her face. It's not the same way. I mean, what do you think they were cast for when they showed up? They're like, okay.
I think you're right. It was just an extra. And they were just like, we're going to get a shot of this real quick.
I think this makes you a featured extra. But again, it's just like, I don't know. It's just a lady. And they're just doing like double entendres, but only like barely. It's like the laziest thing. I don't know. It wasn't good. I also don't know why he doesn't say he's going back to teaching preschool or something. He talks about, like, I might have to sell meth or teach preschool. I've always liked kids. I think it would have been funny if he said, go back to teach preschool, as if that was, like, his previous profession. But I'm not here to write the movie. Neither was he, I guess. He was here to play this drug dealer. And then, yeah, they do. He goes out for a date with the barista and doesn't seem to enjoy it.
Oh, the yogurt girl?
Yeah. Is that what it is?
She's credited as yogurt girl. Yeah.
Oh, was it a yogurt shop? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And she seems kind of young. Although, I don't know how old everyone's supposed to be in this, because this was like 10 years ago. Andy Samberg kind of looks like he could be whatever age. So, he has like a young face, you know?
Yeah, what are they, in their mid to late 20s? I mean, she has her own company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll put him at 30. I don't know.
The yoga girl's like 20-something, I guess.
Yeah.
20 and change. So, yeah, I don't know. That was my sort of, you know, on the initial bit of it. And then it's a lot of just her dicking around. Like, she meets some guy she doesn't really like. Right?
She's not ready to date. But Andy Samberg has begun dating. And, like, Veronica's a relationship. The one-night stand he had 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And then he goes on a date with Yogurt Girl. But he's still holding out hope for Celeste, and then he thinks
they're going to get back together, right?
Yeah, she just needs like 6 months of time. So yeah, they hook up after building some IKEA furniture very poorly, and then the next morning he's like, "Oh, this is great. This is the first step toward us getting back together." And she just immediately pumps the brakes, and he doesn't react well to that, and I think he leaves town or something and just ghosts her for a couple weeks, and in that time he gets back with Veronica, and we learn that she's having a baby, and he's like, yeah, let's keep it, this is a good idea.
I don't know if he was brought in on the decision, but I think he moves out of, he was living in like her guest house or like her shed, which was his art studio, and he moves out of that. I don't know if he leaves town or whatever, but I think that's what he's doing. And yeah, I mean, Veronica is like a non-character too. She appears in the movie a few times and seems nice enough. And she kind of looks like Rashida Jones. I wonder if that was like part of the casting. What it feels like, a replacement for her. But I feel like we don't really get a sense of Veronica. We get a sense that he doesn't know her that well later on, because they start like asking for each other's middle names. But then at the end, he does say he loves her. So, I don't know. That felt like a really thinly written character.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the most insight we get into that character is whenever Celeste is, like, nosing around and asking Beth, who has met Veronica on a couple occasions, like, oh, what's she like? You know, just sort of like this jealous ex foray. But yeah, and they were like, she's simple. And Celeste is like, simple means stupid. She's like, no, just simple. You know?
Yeah, it wasn't.
And that's the most we get.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she could have been given a little bit more. You know, I feel like it would have. Like, I just don't know what we're supposed to feel about that relationship. Like, it seems sort of like a knocked up scenario where they barely knew each other and she got pregnant and then they were just together. And, like, I don't know if this is supposed to be him growing up and taking responsibility, because, you know, he seems to, like, jump headfirst into the, you know, because when he says he's having the baby, Celeste is like, what do you want me to do? And he's like, well, nothing. You're not involved in this. This is, I'm just going to do this with her because this doesn't involve you. You know, it seems like he doesn't, like, need to grow up that much. Like, there's never a point where, like, you know, he was, again, that we don't ever, like, seen him, like, really dropping the ball or anything.
Well, I guess it's just she calls him out. She's like, I've been paying for your life. You've been a bum or something whenever they have their little fight. So, I guess he's somewhat of a drain on their relationship. And that's
It seems like he's unemployed is his issue, right? He's that's like always been his issue. That's like the only thing we see in terms of his like immaturity, I think. Does he get a job later?
I think so.
Does Veronica maybe, I think, hooks him up with a job? It seems like. She knew a gallery owner. And then there's this thing with the pop star whose name is, I think, Riley Bonds, maybe?
Riley Banks.
Yep. Who is Emma Roberts, mm-hmm. who Celeste describes as, I think, as a vagina and a hairdo for some reason. And then, like, insults her on television, but then she signs with their company for some reason?
I think it was literally, like, she just got off television doing a sound bit. Like a video interview. Walks into the next room and Elijah Wood says, oh, by the way, the person that you just insulted, we just signed at the same time.
Yeah, where they're like, what's the... movies love to do this where they're like, the problem with the cultures, the social media and the apps and the... Everyone has no attention span. This movie was made like 10 years ago too, and they were still doing that, which I guess is refreshing to hear that nothing changes, but it's like, why does media always want to like slag on media? You know? It's like, what are we doing here? It's like, the problem is the pop stars are so vapid and stupid and whatever. And Emma Roberts, for some reason, in this movie, looks like a ghost. Like, she's as white as anyone's ever been. She's much whiter than all the other white people in the movie, for some reason.
Is she wearing white makeup, like Marilyn Manson?
It seems like she's wearing white face as a white woman.
Yeah.
Like, they wanted the character to be very white.
Yeah, maybe it's heavy application of sunscreen.
Yeah, she has she talks about her face, her skincare regime, right?
Yeah.
I assume that was your favorite line. Because that sounds
regime
like,
versus regimen?
That sounds like a Tank thing.
Sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah. Time with Tank would get excited. Go, I can correct some guy. I gotta call this guy out on his diction over here, you know? So yeah, then she does that. She's kind of just like mean to people for no reason. She like starts running around. They go to a Halloween party, and she says that Jesse breaking up with her was the best thing he ever did. Breaking up with me was the best thing he ever did. I should break up with me, which made it seem like Jesse broke up with her. But I think it's clear in the rest of the movie she broke up with him.
Yeah, that is clear. Yeah. I missed that line.
Yeah, I thought it was strange because I thought it was supposed to be like a twist, but then it seems like the rest of the movie was consistent that it was like the other way, you know? I thought maybe like later in the movie you were going to find out that like, she broke up with him. And then, you know, she embarrasses herself a bit. She's like dating Chris Messina's Paul for a while. And he seems like a good guy because everyone in this movie seems like good, except the guy who like jerked off on her. Right? Yes. She like goes on a date with a photojournalist and it like goes really well. And this
is the farthest she actually got because she's only ever like smooched Paul and I don't know, she didn't get anywhere with Max. They just parted ways after the restaurant.
Yeah.
So this is like the farthest she's got to actually hooking up with somebody.
Yeah, they decide to skip dinner, go back to the room, and he just like is on top of her and then just starts jerking off, right?
Yeah.
And she just like leaves and he just keeps jerking off.
That's what happens.
And here's the other thing. Movies love photojournalists, which is like not a real job. It like mostly exists in movies. Like it is, there are like some photojournalists, I assume, somewhere in the world. but they exist in droves in movies for some reason. Much like trend forecasters. It's just like, why do these movies need all these fake jobs? The guy can just have a regular job, you know?
What is a photojournalist? Is it just a photographer?
Yeah, but like for journalism.
Oh, okay. So like they accompany the reporter to the scene and they take photos of it?
Well, they are reporters, I think. Like he took a picture of Gaddafi as Gaddafi was doing something.
Okay.
And he peed himself, he said. That was like the whole thing.
Gotcha.
I don't know. But I'm just saying, everyone in movies is a photojournalist for some reason. I don't understand it.
Everyone with an iPhone is a photojournalist.
Nowadays, right? So, we find out Veronica's from Belgium. And I don't know. Oh, what do you call it? Christmas Eve, Paul went to Cornell, which I assumed was like an office reference. Because she says it's Bailey and Ivy.
Is that the joke they play on Andy Bernard?
Andy is always talking about Cornell and they're always making fun of him for that. So I figured that might have been why they threw it in here. But at some point she's like going through the trash at his house or her house, someone's house, right?
Yeah, it's at Veronica and Jesse's house, and she wants to like snoop on what they've been purchasing for their baby. And they also got a Guitar Hero, but that we never see that.
Yeah, she's like, this is an irresponsible purchase or something, or extravagant purchase. When she's like digging through their trash.
Yeah, she's just judging their trash.
Just being weird. And then she like tries to hide. But okay, so in this scene, she like walks up to Veronica and is like, wow, you're so pregnant. The actress is not pregnant. They forgot to get her a belly in this. She's like holding her very taut, like yoga body stomach. And is like, I know, I'm just enormous. And she's supposed to be like 5 months pregnant in this. Like, why do they say that? You know?
I don't know.
Do they forget? They show her stomach. Like,
props department. It was a low budget movie, so maybe they just couldn't afford that pillow.
Yeah. Like, she's like clutching her dress and she's trying to like make it seem like she might be. She's not pregnant in this. This is the weirdest thing. Because
I don't like whenever they do that in movies. Like, she is in the trash, right? And then they pull into the driveway. She like makes eye contact with Andy, who's driving. And then she just like tries scurrying away. They get out and he goes, Celeste. And then as soon as she hears her name, she turns around. And it's just like, I'm not a fan of that whole sequence of events. If you're going to scurry, just keep scurrying.
Exactly. You know? I would commit like it better if she just ran away.
Yeah.
And they were just like, is that Celeste? And he's like, yep.
And like, that's just weird. Deny it.
Like, absolutely. Like,
I don't know who was digging through your trash. What are you talking about?
That's wild. Yeah. Said she was just going through your trash, playing with your Guitar Hero. I didn't say anything about Guitar Hero. You know? And then, Rashida Jones is just, they're dicking around more. Annie Sandberg's like sad about something. You know? He like doesn't know if he's supposed to do this. And they just like spoon for a little bit. Right? So they're still friends, sort of. But like they just never seem like friends. I don't know, that's the thing. They just don't seem like friends. At the beginning, at the end, in the middle. You know? At the end, like the whole like moral of the story, or like, you know, not the moral, but like the whole thing is like, oh, they're still friends, even though they're divorced and moving on with their life. But it's like they just never seemed like friends. You know, they just have a couple inside jokes that I don't think really are good, you know?
So how would you sell their friendship if you had to add in a couple scenes?
It's about chemistry with actors. It's just like, you have to make them look like they enjoy each other's company. And I just don't think they do, you know?
Do you think Celeste doesn't enjoy Jesse's company? Or
Both. I don't think either of them enjoy each other.
Don't have enough on-screen chemistry to pull off friendship. I mean, friendship's a low bar for the screen.
I don't think it is. Like, I think you kind of have to give me something there. You know? Especially if they're, like, best friends whose friendship transcends their marriage and divorce and 20 years of whatever, you know? That's, like, a deep friendship, you know?
Yeah.
And these people, like, could pass for strangers. So... they like move on, whatever, they're dicking around. She's like kind of upset. You know, the whole movie is her just getting like more upset. They have like a fight, but it's like barely a fight, you know? Andy Samberg smiles the entire time they have this fight. You know, she's like crying and he just like can't not smile. Not like the character. The character's not even being like mean and vindictive in a spot. He just like, I just don't think Andy Samberg like could take the scene seriously for some reason. And Andy Samberg, I think, is like, I don't think I've ever seen him as in like a dramatic piece. Although I did grow on him during Brooklyn Nine-Nine. When I first watched it, I was like, oh, he's ruining this for me. And then, you know, he eventually did good, I think.
Okay.
So I think he can do stuff.
But not drama.
I don't know. He was smiling like a goof the entire scene.
I mean, he is a goof.
I know, but he was doing it during like the big dramatic showdown. I felt like he just didn't care. And then like we see her hit rock bottom at like the engagement party, maybe, or what is it?
Yeah, it's like a backyard picnic with all of her friends. Is it? I don't know, a celebration? Yeah, an engagement party, I guess.
Yeah. And she's, like, supposed to hit rock bottom, and they try to, like, make her a mess. And they put her in this, like, weird dress. But she still looks like a beautiful Rashida Jones type the entire time. You know? It doesn't look like her life is falling apart. Like, I guess she's, like, Rashida Jones with a ponytail. And she's, like, drinking too much. But, like, I don't know. She seems like she's just having, like, you know, a rough day. Not, like, you know, she's going through turmoil in life.
I mean, when she passed out on the pool float in the middle of the party where no one else is swimming, and she's fully clothed, not in a bathing suit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why they let their drunk friend play in the pool, I guess, but she just looks fine. She even, like, does a work call later, and she's, like, perfectly coherent, and she's, like, beautifully made up, and, like, I don't know, it just, like, I'm like, come on, like, you know, ugly her up a little bit. Or, like, make her, like, no, you don't have to make her ugly. Make her, like, more disheveled. But she's so shoveled, you know? She's, like, so put together. She's just wearing a weird dress over, like, it's like a weird, like, a romper almost. Or, like, a overalls over, I don't know. It's weird looking, no doubt. She insults the pop star again for some reason. And this was after they made a logo for the pop star that looks like a penis, I guess?
Yeah, it looks like a cock and a butt, I think is what they say it.
Yeah, they love saying this. And this apparently is, like, a problem. I don't think this would be, like, a problem. It might be, like, a weird logo. I didn't even know pop stars really had logos. But, like, I don't think anyone... They have, like, these, like, you know, one of the, like, you know, Christian conservatives being like, can you believe this, you know, young pop star is doing penis stuff? Which I guess is still something that happened because it's, like, Sabrina Carpenter stuff, right? But... It's like, yeah, kind of. Like that. Like, what is she singing about, you know?
As soon as I saw that, I was like, but this feels like any publicity is good publicity. And it's just like, at least they're talking about you. So the logo worked in that regard. So it's just like everyone, the movie wanted me to feel like it was a failure. But I'm like, it seems like she got a greater following.
Yeah, well, I mean, she did, right? That's they need to like re-market her to the gays instead of the tweens. Because the tweens don't want penises anymore or something. I don't know. And then they, like, bond because her secret boyfriend, the pop star's secret boyfriend, like, cheated on her. And then they bond together because she feels bad for the pop star.
Yeah, that was a weird 180. It's like, if you're a pop star, I get you might not have a lot of trusted individuals. You feel like everyone's, I don't know, a business relationship, but, like, that's something you would tell your best friend or maybe like your sister or then your mother, like your branding agency or your PR person might be like 25th on the list.
Yeah. Especially this one who is not nice to you and doesn't like you and you don't like her.
So maybe 500th. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, she goes to the wedding. And I think if you're getting married, you should get married where you live.
I agree with that.
You know?
Yep.
Don't make everyone travel to, like, a third... Unless it's, like... if you want to do a destination wedding with, like, 10 people, you know, and not expect everyone to show up, but they live in L.A., I think, right?
live in LA? And then they get married in Rhode Island.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, it's so hard to get in Rhode Island. You got to take a plane and a bus and a train. And it's like, I think you just take a plane and then rent a car. Doesn't matter. But it's just like, what are we even complaining about here, right? It's, and it's like them and all their friends and her co-founder. It's like, I guess maybe all their family was in Delaware or something. Was it Delaware?
Rhode Island.
Maybe. But like, I don't know. Let them fly to LA. If they don't want to fly, then you got to keep the headcount down. It's fine. Don't make yourself and all your friends fly. It's craziness. And then she gives a speech that is like not appropriate and also not good. I felt like.
Yeah, she didn't really prepare for it. She was just shooting from the hip, it seemed. Yeah. But it was at least from the heart.
Sort of, but like it was a bad one. I don't know. It's like she's talking about she's like, you gotta work for your marriage and being best friends is the hardest part. And she kind of gives like a bad, the first one she says a joke. How do you get a nun pregnant? You fuck her. She opens with sort of a joke, which I guess she can do. And then she, like, then it's supposed to be like, she's, you know, gives her a speech and then like, you know, comes back and does sort of like an encore and gives like a more emotional one, I guess. But I didn't think either version was good.
Her
friend looked kind of pissed off. And then Jesse like goes and like, thank you for apologizing. I don't know what she had to apologize for. If he was immature, she doesn't have to be with him. It's fine. You know? She's not the bad guy there. And then like, I just don't get it. Like, the movie, like, does it think she did something wrong by breaking up with him?
I think she's wrestling with regret.
It sounds like he should have. Yeah, but I understand her regretting it. But I don't understand the movie and Annie Samberg be like, thank you for apologizing to me. Or saying you should have worked harder. It's like, why should she have worked harder? Like, it sounds like he wasn't working very hard.
Well, at the beginning of this podcast, you said she's just been a huge asshole the entire movie. She's just, like, inconsiderate to people. So maybe that's her realization and that's what she's apologizing for. Hey, I didn't treat you right.
I feel like that, but the movie doesn't think that. You know?
Okay.
Right? Like, does the movie think she was an asshole?
I think so.
Like, we never see her being an asshole to him. You know?
Everyone in her life is telling her, hey, you know, like, they're just dropping pearls of wisdom throughout the movie. Sometimes it's not, like, Paul is a huge voice of reason for her. And he says at some point, like, you know, you don't always have to be right. Sometimes you just choose to be happy. Like, what's more important to you?
Yeah, I also don't understand, but like, okay, I just don't get it because, like, it seems like they should have broken up. It seems like, but maybe, I don't know. We don't see a lot of their relationships, so it's hard to, like, assess. But if they just wanted different things in life, if he wasn't ready to be mature, if he just wanted to dick around and surf, and, you know, she took her career more seriously or wanted to be more serious, we don't really get an indication that that's the case, but that is sort of, like, the thesis, it feels like.
Well, yeah, I mean, is Andy Samberg, is Jesse better off for having separated and divorced from her? Like,
it seems like it.
I think so. But is she, and I think that answer is no. So the moral of the story is, I think it could have gone either way. Like, they could have been happy together, but she would have needed a change.
I don't see how her working harder, specifically that phrase, like, I wish I had, like, worked harder on the marriage, or fought more for the marriage. What like makes any sense in this context? You know, it didn't feel like she was checked out or she wasn't putting an effort, right?
Well, we never saw that, but she was willing to separate. She was willing to throw away the marriage because of Jesse's immaturity.
Yeah, but what was she going to do? Mature him? Accidentally get pregnant?
Help him be the best version of himself and help herself to accept him for his flaws. Yes.
That can't be what this is about. That seems awful.
Come on. That's exactly what this is about.
That seems terrible.
What the fuck are you talking about? Why is
that
terrible?
That's so stupid. It's like, if he's immature, the lesson is that she should have dealt with it. It's like, no. It's just like, he can be more mature. Or he can not be. But, like, what's the problem?
I don't think that's the... I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's a lesson, but she could have been happy She just needed to change. Like, she was a flawed individual at the beginning of the movie.
Was now, she?
In hindsight, yes. She accepts it.
What was her flaw, though?
Her flaw is that she insists on always being right, and she's willing to be an asshole to people. She's, judgmental. She's doesn't value her marriage with Jesse.
She's not really like that with him, though.
Oh, like an asshole? Just has a bunch of inside jokes? Yeah, I mean, but in totality of her personality, like her growth throughout the movie, I'd say those were the things that were wrong with her at the beginning.
It'd make more sense if we saw her be, like, condescending towards him throughout this entire movie. But, like, we really don't. Outside the, like, one time they get in a fight.
Yeah, I think it happened at one point, yeah.
Yeah, but she's like, I had to pay for everything. And it's like, it seems like, and he's like, you wanted it that way. It's like, did she? It seems true that she was paying for everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to fit a whole bunch of in an hour and a half, you know?
I don't know. They did a lot of dicking around in this movie. They could have had a scene where we saw her be an asshole to him. But, like, she's not even an asshole. She just, like, tells the guy not to cut in line. That seems reasonable.
Which scenes were dicking around? Which scenes would you cut?
I mean, half the scenes are dicking around. We see, like, Andy Samberg, like, at a baseball game with his boys for some reason. Anytime Skills appears, I would cut those scenes.
I'd probably cut all the Skills stuff. That's fair.
The time he goes, we probably don't need her going on a date with the photojournalist, the, like, teenage pop star, the guy Max, and then also, you know, the regular guy Paul. We could have her go on, like, two bad dates, not three bad dates.
I don't know. I think you need those. I think you need a variety of dates for her to go on.
You need all four dates for her to go on?
Yeah, because how could she come to the conclusion that maybe she should have valued Jesse's relationship more?
You want me to come to that conclusion without seeing anything about their marriage, but she can't come to that conclusion with only three dates?
The only pretense you need is that she was dismissive and didn't value their relationship to the point where they separated.
Was she dismissive? It wasn't like...
Are you arguing for a Dune Part 1 movie right now? Because they gave you the 5-fucking-minute montage of, like, well, here they were high school sweethearts, they really cared about each other, but they separated 6 months ago. Like, they summarized that in the first couple minutes of this movie, and that's just, like, all you need in order to then go through the character growth of Celeste in this movie.
No, we don't. We need to know what Celeste was like in that relationship. If she's then going to, like, apologize for what she was like in that relationship.
Yeah, but it's all covered.
It's not covered.
It is.
What was she like then?
What was she like? I just fucking went over it. She was an asshole. She always had to be right. She was dismissive.
When was she like that in their relationship? When did she do that in their relationship?
Whenever they were married.
Example of her doing that
in the relationship. We didn't see it. It was in the montage.
That's my fault. We didn't see it. We didn't see it.
You don't need to see it.
Have her be dismissive of his, like, work or something. The thing she's most dismissive of is when he re-watches the Olympics and cries about it. And she's like, hey, have you looked for a job today? He's like, no, I'm re-watching the Olympics again. You know, and hanging out with my weed dealer friend who sucks. Who then she, like, hangs out with on? We could have cut all those scenes of her just, like, smoking weed with Skills.
Yeah, you know? Is that her, like, descent to hit rock bottom? I don't get it.
Yeah. She, like, smokes weed.
Skills sucks, but he does shoot a shot at some point, and she shoots it down, which is good.
Yeah, he's like, if you would like to hook up sexually or be friends with the benefits of other things, I'm like, oh my god, this guy. This is the weirdest person alive. Looks like a wizard man. And he's, like, trying to, I don't know, knack on her. This is the guy who was talking with, like, the ass that goes all the way down. We have no idea what he was doing. You know? Elijah Wood is playing this, like, gay guy who, like, is playing a very stereotypical gay guy with his, like, voice, but then he's also just like, I want to be your gay best friend, and she's like, you don't have to work on the gay part, and he's like, you know, I'm a friend, and I like cock, and you're just like, what is happening? Like, you don't have to do that. Like, you seem like a gay guy. You keep saying, you know, you have, like, a sort of a gay voice in this one.
Oh, I didn't realize he was gay until they told me.
You didn't realize he was gay?
Because that's just how Elijah Wood sounds.
That isn't how Elijah Wood sounds.
Are you kidding me? Have you ever seen Wilfred?
No, I haven't seen Wilfred.
Oh, you should watch Wilfred. That's a funny show. But he, yeah, it's the same. I mean, is he what, Frodo Baggins? Yeah, he's slightly different than Frodo Baggins in this movie.
He's a gayer version of Frodo Baggins in this movie. And Frodo Baggins was already like pretty gay. Yeah.
Is Elijah Wood gay?
In real life, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing a pretty straight Elijah Wood, and I was like, okay.
I don't think he's playing anything. None of this is being played straight.
It was so weird because he was like, "I'm gonna be your gay best friend," and I was like, "That's a weird thing for a straight guy to choose to be." But yep. Whatever, but okay. Elijah's a weirdo. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. His character progression throughout the movie just got weirder.
Does he have a cat? I don't know why he was in this movie. You could lift him right out of the movie.
Maybe, yeah. Can't say you can't.
Yeah. I don't know. So. And then, yeah, they really just stick around, and then they do their divorce, and they sign the papers, and then she lets a guy cut in front of her in line, and she's like, you know what, go ahead. And he's like, thank you so much. Yeah, my dog was in the car. And it's like, why didn't you just say that beforehand? Be like, hey, can I go ahead of you because my dog's in the car? Not like, I'm cutting in front of you. And then like, oh, the only reason I did that. It's like, you had time to have this conversation. Also, don't leave your dog in the car. Also, like, waiting behind one person isn't going to make a difference. None of this matters.
Also, it wasn't like she was waiting in line and then he cut. They sort of just arrived at the line together.
Yeah, it's like when you're like going for a parking spot type of thing.
And he literally, it's not like he saw her and then chose to like, I don't know, box her out. He just sort of got to the fucking counter ahead of her and it wasn't really cutting, but the movie wanted me to think that he did cut. So yeah.
Well, early in the movie when Bob Hubble cuts the line, like, he is being a jackass. Like, he just is like a businessman. He's like, I gotta go to important business work. And she's like, yeah, no, we all have to go somewhere. You just decided your stuff was more important. And they're like, you're so stupid, Rashida Jones. You need to be right all the time. It's like, she was right, though. She was right. And she was doing a public service. It wasn't like she was doing a thing specifically for her. You know, she wasn't being, who is it? It's, what's the kid's name?
Karen?
Paul Rudd?
She wasn't doing a Paul Rudd.
In, what?
Role Models?
Role Models. But he's like arguing with the barista about what the thing's called and just being an asshole. She was just like, hey, it's rude to cut people. Everyone's waiting in line. And they're just like, nope, this is your character flaw, Rashida Jones. It's like, I don't think this is a character flaw. It seems like she has other character flaws we're not addressing. Just being a deeply unpleasant person. You know?
Yeah, with no whimsy.
She has no whimsy. And the problem is, like, Annie Samberg has, like, all whimsy. You know?
Like, so you just think they're mismatched and they don't have any on-screen chemistry.
Yeah, and that's like part of the thing, I guess, is like, you know, he's supposed to be whatever. But like when he starts taking himself seriously, I just like don't quite buy it because he still sort of reads it in that like, can you believe this? You got to buy a breast pump and diapers. You know what I mean? It's like, what the hell is that? It's like, you know what those are. Like, you're a grown man. You know? Like, you understand the concept of children. Like, this isn't the confusing part. You know?
I don't know. I thought his continued surprise at all the new experiences he's getting from choosing to be a father.
Is he choosing to be a father?
Yeah.
What do you mean? In what way?
he's otherwise he's a sperm donor. Sperm donors aren't fathers.
No, so he's choosing to be a pregnant, father. And yes. Then he has to. What do you mean? What's the choice he has there?
He's choosing to be a father. Otherwise, if he abandoned her and neglected it, he would just be a sperm donor.
I guess he's choosing not to be a deadbeat. But it's not like he's made the choice to have a child. It's like he accidentally got a girl pregnant and is just not being a deadbeat.
No.
You know? Like, I guess he could abandon her and, like, leave the country. But, like, it's not like they talked about... It's not like you see him and Veronica be like, should we have this child? And he's like, yes, I will have this child with you. I'll take responsibility.
Well, seemingly, if he just never talks to her again, her visa will run out and she'll be deported.
I guess he could get his child and mother of his child deported. I guess in that way he is stepping up and being a father. Yeah, because
he never asked for a paternity test. He's just sort of like, I might have
off screen. Like most stuff happens off screen. It seems like
it wasn't in the montage, and we got a montage of him getting like peeing on a stick in a paternity test.
It happened.
Mari
it happened
Povich
after
coming over.
It happened after the montage, right?
Yeah, I need another montage. Get rid of the skills scenes. Add montages to help fill in the gaps. Did you see, when I was looking at the cast for this, writing the notes, I saw Lauren Sanchez, and I was like, that sounds familiar. It's, she was a reporter in one of the cutscenes. That's Jeff Bezos' current wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's in this movie. Huh. Chris D'Elia was in this movie. I'm not sure, at the Halloween party, Chris D'Elia was standing beside somebody. I didn't recognize him. Don't know if I should have.
I think he's Snow White.
Yeah, Chris D'Elia's Snow White.
And I didn't recognize Lauren Sanchez, although I don't think I would have recognized her. And apparently Chris Pine was in this. I don't remember him either.
No. Is he Captain America? No.
No, that's Chris Evans. Chris Pine is he's in Wonder Woman.
Okay.
He's in a lot of stuff. He's in Sonic, I think. No, that's James Marsden. I don't know. Chris Pine's in a lot of stuff.
Okay.
He's a guy. He seems like a guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, so that's all on this movie. I mean, they did go to a vegan restaurant at some point. Have you ever had cashew cheese sauce?
No.
You ever had Baltic kelp?
Not Baltic, no.
No, just regular kelp?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's regular or a different thing, but it's not Baltic. she makes a big deal. She's like, oh, he's like a vegan now. It's like, was this like a thing? I just feel like there's like a couple scenes of him cut, you know, where we like see a little bit of them before they have their growth. Cause like, I just feel like I get no starting point. I feel like we get a starting point maybe of them as a couple, but not as individuals.
Sure.
And the only thing we get with them as a couple is that like they do bits, which seems out of character for her. But, like, it's not like as she grows up, she, like, stops doing the bits because it, like, wasn't. It's like she seems to like the bits.
Loves the bits.
Even though it just doesn't. I don't buy it. You know, I don't buy that she likes the bits.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to know much about him as a person before the movie starts. The movie's not about him. He just serves to, you know, illustrate growth and, you know, leads to her regret and realizations.
I don't understand her regret if I don't understand him, though. Why does she regret?
All you need to understand
him
is that he's changing. He's moving on.
Is
he is
changing,
growing and
though?
She is not.
She is growing,
the
apparently.
Movie's telling you he is.
I don't
just accept it.
The movie. What do you mean I just accepted? You accept it.
I did accept it.
I don't accept it. I need to see it. He doesn't seem like he's growing.
Look, you can't have a 90-minute movie if you want all that bullshit, you know?
You can. Cut out all the skills and all the Elijah Wood and all the pop star stuff. I just bought you 30 minutes. We could have a scene of him just being immature in any reasonable way.
No.
You know? I think you could have made this a short film.
Ooh.
You know? It would have no. I really think you could have made this in like 20. It's just, like, honestly, that might be long. I don't know. Overall, I think it was okay. Soft uncle.
Soft uncle. Okay. I really thought you were going nephew.
No, it was. There was some stuff that was well done. I like this type of movie, too. I like the smallness of it. I like that there's no villains. You know, it's not like they just made some character just be bad for some reason. I actually think they, like, view their characters as worse. I sort of, like, would have liked it if they, like, acknowledged their characters as both being better, you know? And let the problem be more situational than really anything.
You don't think the guy jerking off on her was a villain?
He might have been a villain, I guess. You know? And Skills, obviously, is a villain.
Yeah, he sucks.
You know? But other than that, I mean, most of the people were pretty chill, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well put together.
Yeah, I'd say it's a complete movie. The low budget is kind of fake, it feels like.
You think it's a lie?
Oh, it's just like, so this is like, has like a pretty all-star cast, I feel like.
Yeah, maybe this was an exploration and like, is this before they were famous, maybe?
No, this was during The Office for Rashida Jones. Like,
yeah,
after
but she was the writer, so she didn't have to pay herself.
No, I mean, you still are getting paid. It's not like the writer, that's not how any of this works.
Okay.
She wasn't the producer. That was a different people. It's not like she did it for free.
Yeah, maybe they just signed, like, percentage deals.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it made any money.
Yeah, it didn't.
And this is after Lord of the Rings, right?
Yes, well
and,
after.
And Andy Samberg, I don't know how famous he was. But, like, everybody in this movie is, like, a person, you know? What was Chris Messina doing? Was he on the Mindy Project already, or was that after this?
Ooh, not sure. But yeah, he's famous as well.
He was on the
guest.
He was on the Newsroom Around Now. He was in the Mindy Project. That might have been right after, but he had been on other shows. I don't know. It was just like, to get all these people and have it be, because it was $800,000 is what the budget's reported at.
Yeah.
Which is like incredibly low. I don't know.
That's crazy.
For a, you know, for a thing with any actors you recognize, you know? So I think it was like maybe they were friends with a lot of the actors and called in a lot of favors type of thing.
Yeah, I think Andy Garcia in Passengers was probably paid more than $800,000, and he had no speaking role in that movie. So $800,000 is low.
It was directed by someone called Lee Tolwyn Krieger.
Yeah,
a person I have never heard of who apparently directed Age of Adeline too.
To be fair, though, like. I say the director every time. I think I've heard of like two or three of them. You know, M. Night Shyamalan, Spielberg. I don't think we've done a Spielberg movie. But I can't really name directors. What's the Inglourious Basterds guy?
Tarantino?
Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, like.
We know Colin Trevorrow from Book of Eli.
Oh yeah, from our Colin Trevorrow series. Yeah, sure.
Deep Cover, was that also Colin Trevorrow? That's a different question.
I don't know.
Greedy People, I thought was directed by someone we knew.
Yeah.
Nope, don't know that person. I mean, The Matrix was directed by people we knew. Sunshine was directed by someone I could name. Transcendence someone we could name?
Well, so what do you have to say about Lee Tolwyn Krieger other than you don't know about him or anything about him?
Yeah, just where do they find this guy? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
A guy who popped into the world to direct this movie and then disappeared.
Giving him a shot. Maybe he's Skills' friend.
He probably is Skills' friend, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm right there with you. I mean, you say soft uncle. I agree. It's middle of the road, but I don't think this movie's for me, so I'm going to give it a slight nephew. Not that there's anything egregiously wrong with it. It's just not the movie for me. I appreciate the messaging, good casting. Fine acting. Just not for me. So
okay. This screenplay with him and Rashida Jones was nominated for Best Screenplay Adapted or Original at the Black Reel Awards. Because Rashida Jones is half black, I think. Skills McCormick is. Will McCormick is his name, I guess. Like, he was just playing someone named Skills in this movie. But I guess, yeah, I guess if you co-write it, you can still get it. Oh, his sister is Mary McCormick? Okay. I know her. Okay. There we go. Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't bad. Most of it was, like, pleasant enough, you know? Like, because there wasn't, like, I don't know, there wasn't, like, some deeply unpleasant stuff happening on screen that you're just kind of like, why am I watching this on a scene-to-scene level? You know, and most of the actors are pretty good and charming, even if I think they were maybe miscast at times.
Yeah, I mean, 6.6 IMDb, 71% Rotten Tomatoes.
You know? I think, like, for me, if you just show, like, the group of people, like, hanging out and having fun, like, that's most of the way there for me. Like, you know, I'll have had a good time watching it, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was okay.
I agree.
Okay.
All right, well, I don't want to say what all we have coming up next, but I mean, you know, the movies, Someone Great, maybe Mr. Right, maybe Predestination, but yeah, outside of those, I'm not sure
what else we have
coming down. Yeah, stay tuned.
Stay tuned for the next movie.
That's some exciting stuff. You know, maybe a Lethal and Krieger series.
Deep Cover got an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know. Talk to somebody. Anyways, no. I think that's all for today.
All right,
any tidbits.
Do you have any tidbits?
Tank is usually the one with the tidbits.
Well, do we have any modicum morsels?
Oh, no morsels right now, but
no
next
morsels.
Time. Stay tuned. Next time we'll have some morsels.
Yep. Okay. Looking forward to that. All right. Fwit, fwit, fwit.